Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church. We're going to be in Acts chapter 9, if you have your Bibles with you, Acts chapter number 9, and I want to welcome the kids to the service today. Isn't it good to have kids around? Yeah, it's good to have youngins, and we're thankful that they're here, and they may make some noise, and they may cry out, and that's okay. I'll just try to talk louder, all right? And so I'm glad that they are here. How many of you guys have to wear glasses? Anybody have to wear glasses? My wife said I needed glasses for a long time, and I never went in. She just kept saying, Joshua, you need to go get your eyes checked. And I said, I'm fine. Leave me alone. You know, does anyone else's wife nag them like that from time to time? Don't raise your hand, all right? But you need to get glasses. Well, I think it was 2012, 2013. I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to get her off my back. I'm going to go get my eyes checked out. I know they're fine, you know? And I can remember going into the optometrist's little room there, and they brought that big old thing they put right in front of you. How many guys have never been to an optometrist? Anyone? Never been. All right, there's a few people. Some of you are blessed with 20/20 vision. Not I, apparently, because he put that thing in front of me. He said, can you see this? And I said, well, yeah, I can see it. And he goes, how about now? And he made that little click sound. And I went, whoa. I think I heard angels like, oh, because it was like crystal clear. I said, what did you do? You know, like what happened? And he said, I think you need glasses. And so I said, okay. So he went ahead and got me some glasses. And I'll never forget whenever I was done getting my glasses for the first time, driving down the road, and I would constantly be doing this number right here. Did anyone else do that when you first got glasses? Like even right now, I never preach with glasses on, but I'm doing it for a reason today. But when I look out, it's like, it's going to be hard today preaching because I actually have to look at you guys. I can see who's sleeping out there, all right? So, but whenever I first got those glasses, I kept saying this phrase, I can't believe what I've been missing. I can't believe what I've been, every sign is like, you know, I thought you had to just wait until you got super close to the sign before you could tell, you know, exactly which direction you were going to go or how many miles it was to the next exit. But, you know, if I could describe life before glasses in one word, it would be the word fuzzy. Fuzzy. And I'm not talking about the golfer. Any of you guys remember Fuzzy Zeller, the golfer? Anybody? Sorry, that's a bad reference there. But anyway, it was fuzzy. But now that I've got glasses, it's really nice. I don't wear them when I preach, but I wear them when I drive. I wear them when I watch TV. And it's like, you know, before I was like, we don't need one of those high-definition TVs. Because, kids, there used to be a time when we didn't have high-definition TVs. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. But we had standard definition. I said, I don't need one of those. And I got these glasses like, I think we should upgrade to HD now because it looks really clear, you know. Life went from fuzzy to vibrant, sharp, and clear. You know, as I was thinking about this in preparation for the message today, I've been around enough people long enough to know that many of them live their lives in a very similar fashion. Like if there was one word that could describe many people's lives, it would just be fuzzy. There's not a whole lot of direction. They're kind of just going through the motions. They feel like life is not characterized by thriving. It's more just surviving. There's just a lot of lack of motivation. There's wishing and hoping for more. You know, just going through the motions. And even more sad than that is that that's not just true of people outside of the church. But sadly, this is true of believers as well as Christians. And there's a disconnect that tends to take place among believers because many of us, we're just going through the motions and we see life as just fuzzy without a lot of purpose. But we know that verse where Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more. Does anyone know the next word? Abundantly. And when I look at life, it's not real abundant sometimes. And I think that many of us would know exactly what I'm talking about. When we look out there, there's a lot of fuzziness rather than abundantness, if that's a word. So where is the disconnect? I want to propose to you this morning that the disconnect between Jesus' words and our reality is in our glasses. It's in how we are viewing life. Because ultimately, all of us are looking at life and we're looking at life's experiences through some kind of glasses. There are some people that whenever they look at life's experiences, they look at life's experiences through some different lenses, right? These are my daughter Gracie's, I call her Hollywood when she puts them on, right? Because, you know, you just look cool in something like this. But, you know, are they called aviators? Is that what they call this style of glass, you know? A lot of people look at life through like aviator type lenses because, you know, because people that wear these things, I always think of Tom Cruise and Top Gun. You know, anyone else like that? You think of Highway to the Danger Zone, baby. And you put those on, and that's what a lot of people, that's the way they view life. They look at every situation in life through the lens of what will bring me power. How can I manipulate this situation to where not only I have power, but I may gain some advancement? I can work my way up the ladder. I can make progress. And that's how they view everything that they go through in life. Other people, we don't go through it in that way. We go through it with one of these things. This is a magnifying glass for looking at rocks, apparently. This is my son's, and he likes to collect rocks. And a lot of us, we look at life through the lens of a magnifying glass. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where the Bible says, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. A lot of us look at life through the lens of just looking at it like, I've got to figure this out. I got to figure out why this is happening, and I've got to figure out what I did wrong. And we're trying to lean into our understanding, say, all right, I see that. Now I've got to decide what my next step is going to be. But how many of you guys know that a lot of times life just doesn't add up? Life doesn't make sense, and God allows things that we'll never understand. But a lot of us are looking at life through that lens of our own understanding. Other people are looking at life through the lens of pleasure. These are a little bit similar to the aviators, but rather than looking for power, we're just looking to be cool. You know, looking for happiness, looking for pleasure. And sadly, I mean, we kind of expect this in the world. I mean, the mentality back in the Bible days and the mentality even today is, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's just live it up. And sadly, a lot of Christians look at life through the lens of, I just got to have fun. Does it make me happy? And if it doesn't make me happy, I'm not going to do it. I need pleasure. The last lens that I believe many of us look through is, believe it or not, these are actually my television viewing glasses, and my wife is shaking her head that I'm about to put them on. I added duct tape to them to make them a little bit better. But you notice it doesn't have any action on this side, just on that side. They broke, and I was like, I'm not buying new glasses. They fit fine. I can see the TV. Is anyone else like this? Like, I can make it work, right? So I put them on, and I usually wear them a little bit straighter than this without the duct tape, but these glasses are broken, and, you know, a lot of people, this is the way they view life. They view life through their broken past. I think it was last week we said that our past shapes our perspective. And a lot of times we view the experiences that we're going through now through the lens of the experiences we've gone through in the past. And since things were broken then, we kind of expect everything to be broken later. You know, Jesus said, I am coming that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I propose to you this morning that many of us are struggling because we're looking at life through the wrong glasses today. I propose to you this morning that the way that God desires for us to look at life so that we can live it more abundantly, to go from a fuzzy life of just existing to an abundant life that Jesus promised, is to look at life through the lenses of this statement right here: who we are in Jesus Christ. When we begin to look at life's experiences through who we are in Jesus Christ, it begins to transform those experiences, whether there's pleasure or no pleasure, whether things are going great or they're going terrible, whether we can see clear direction or we have no direction. When we look at life through the lens of who we are in Jesus Christ, it can bring an abundant life despite the circumstances. We're going to see this through the life of the Apostle Paul. Anyone ever heard of the Apostle Paul? You might know him as the artist formerly known as Saul. For those of you that, that was bad. But here's what you see with Saul is that we go to Acts chapter 9 and it records his conversion, all right? For those of you that may not have been around church or grown up around church, the apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament, but before he was Paul, he was known as Saul. And he wasn't a Christian. As a matter of fact, he persecuted Christians. Let's read these first 9 verses here in Acts chapter 9. It says, and Saul, that's Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So here's Saul. And he is a very religious man. I mean, he wasn't, when people looked at him, they didn't see him as a guy that was just, you know, boozing it up and just being a wicked sinner or something like that. I mean, he was viewed as a very religious person. As a matter of fact, it says that he goes unto the high priest. So he goes into the synagogue, he goes to the high priest, he's like, you've heard about this Jesus guy, these people that are following the way, you know, these people that follow this Jesus person who supposedly rose from the dead. There's a bunch of them in Damascus, and I want to go down there and I'm going to find out what's going on. So verse number 2, it says that he desired of the high priest letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, those are the people that are following Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So his purpose in going to Damascus was to round up the Jesus followers, the Christians, and to bring them back to Jerusalem so that he could persecute them. In verse number 3, it says, and as he journeyed, he's on the road to Damascus, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he, Paul, fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? We don't have insight into what Paul was thinking at this moment, but logic would bring us to deduce that Saul here is on his way to do what to Christians? Persecute them. And now he sees this God that he had thought he had been worshiping. And this God says, why are you persecuting me? And I believe he came face to face with the reality that what he was doing, this religious way of life, wasn't the right way, and he realized that Jesus was the way. As a matter of fact, we see that in verse number 5 where it says, and Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How many of you guys think that would have shaken you up a little bit? This young lady right here in the front got a speeding ticket last week, I think. Did you want me to tell everybody that? How fast were you going? I overheard her saying that. How fast were you going? Can you say in church too fast? Did you see him before he saw you? Right as you passed him. And when you saw him, how did it feel? You guys know what I'm talking about. We were driving home from Tennessee, and I was going 82 and a 70. Were you going that fast? Don't answer that. I was going 82 and a 70, and I had it on cruise control. I was keeping up with the flow of traffic. That's legal, right? You guys sound like my wife. And 82, and I saw the police officer, and Misty's like, are you not going to slow down? I'm like, too late now. I didn't even take off the cruise. You know what? He didn't pull me over. Walking with Jesus, clean living. That's what happens, right? No, but when you see that police officer, I mean, it's like, oh, man, you know, especially if you see him start to back up or you see him start to pull out and then his lights come on, and oh, I imagine that's probably how Saul felt. When he sees God and he says, who are you, Lord? And he's like, I'm Jesus. And you're like, oh. Could you imagine the fear that struck into his heart? Look what it says in verse 6. Verse 6, it says, and he trembling and astonished, we know why he was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I believe in verse number 6 where he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He realized that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, that he was God, that he had died for the sins of mankind. Verse number 7 says, and the men which journeyed with Paul stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And in verse 9 it says, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. What we see here in verse number 9 is the conversion of Saul. It's where Saul came face to face with the reality that he was not going to be able to please God on his own. He could only please God through Jesus Christ. He realized that Jesus died on the cross for him. Jesus was buried and rose again. And I believe that he put his faith in Jesus in this moment. And at that time, when Saul got saved, God drastically changed this man's life. He went from being a religious man to being a man that had a relationship with Christ. He went from being the persecutor to the persecuted. This change was so dramatic in Saul's life that God, out of all the people he could have chosen to write this verse, he chose Saul or Paul to write this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." For Saul, salvation was a life-changing event. And salvation is not only a life-changing event for Saul, but it should be a life-changing event for us as well. It impacted, for Saul, the lens through which he saw life. We're going to see the way that it impacted him, but it should do the same thing in our lives. It should impact the lens through which we view life. Because if we are saved, God has changed you. You are a new creature, and you are in Jesus Christ. You are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the eyes of God because you're in Christ as a new creature. And when we begin to believe this, and when we begin to meditate upon this, when we begin to see life through the lens of the fact of who we are in Jesus Christ, it brings three different things. The first thing it brings a different perspective. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. It brings a different perspective. It changes the way that you look at life. I can remember it was, we had had a missions conference, and it was on a Friday. It was when we were still in the old building over in Tremont. And we got done with the missions conference early, and I went over to watch one of the young men that attended our church play high school football there in Tremont. His name was Austin. And Austin was a running back, and I can remember going to that game, and I was all excited because Austin was a pretty big kid and a pretty good running back, and I was excited to see him. I remember going out there and sitting in the bleachers and thinking, where's he at? You know, because I didn't have these things. And I was looking out there, and I think he was number 32, if I remember right. And I was looking out there, and I was like, is that 32? No, that's 62, you know. And I see there's guys in the backfield, but I can't really tell if it's Austin, you know, because you have a fullback, and then you have a tailback, you have a quarterback, and you have a halfback, you know, all these different positions that are back there. And I'd see somebody run up the middle, and I couldn't tell what happened, but the crowd would start cheering, and I was like, all right, what are we cheering for, you know? How many of you guys have ever tried to watch a game without your glasses on, whether it's in person or if it's on TV, and you don't understand why everyone else is cheering? You can't see clearly, and honestly, it leaves you a little bit frustrated, you know? I couldn't imagine losing my eyesight and having to try to figure out what's going on around me without being able to see clearly. But all of that changed after my wife made me go to the optometrist. Because now, I love going to football games. I took my son to see his very first football game last year, Tennessee versus Florida. We won't talk about the outcome of that. But we drove all the way to Tennessee for me to watch a game. And you know what I had with me? These things right here. And it was a fun game to attend because I was able to take it all in. I was able to see everything that was happening. These things right here changed my perspective. When you think about Paul being made a new creature, did it change his perspective at all? You know, the first person that it changed his perspective of was Jesus. Because remember, he was on his way to Damascus to find these people that were following Jesus. And when he got saved, he's now in Christ. And his perspective of Jesus changed? Absolutely. He's now following Jesus. Not only that, but his perspective of other Christians changed. The way he looked at other believers changed. Listen, the way he looked at unbelievers changed. The way that he looked at even political and religious leaders changed. I mean, when he got saved, when God made him a new creature, it changed the way that he looked at others, at life, and his experiences. His entire outlook on life changed. He was a new man in Christ, and the truth changed him. If you are saved today, if you put your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that your eternity has changed. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for the day that I realized I was a sinner, and without Christ, I would split hell wide open. But I'm glad that I realized that Jesus loved me enough that he gave his life for me. And when I put my faith in him, my eternal destiny changed from hell to heaven. I'm thankful for the change in my eternity. But listen, God did not save you just to change and impact your eternity, but he wants to impact your present. When we begin to look at life through the lens of who we are in Christ, it's going to change our present because it gives us a different perspective of other believers. Whenever you're saved, whenever you look at someone that's a Christian, you know, it's a little bit different than the way you used to look at them. You're a little bit more patient with them. Maybe a little bit more forgiving with them. Hey, whenever you look at someone who's an unbeliever, as a Christian, we ought to look at them a little bit differently. One of the things that I have to remember, and sometimes it's frustrating when I don't remember it or even when other people don't remember it, is whenever we get into it with someone that's not saved. Anyone ever get into it with an unbeliever? By get into it, you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, kind of like you do with your wife or your husband every now and then, just get into it. You're butt heads. Anybody ever butt heads with an unbeliever? I mean, you just want to tell them, you know, just give them what for. And you want to set the record straight, but as a believer, we look at them a little bit differently, at least we should. Because if they don't know Christ as their Savior, whether or not they get things right with you, if they are not right with God, they will spend eternity in a lake of fire known as the pit of hell. And as a believer, that ought to change our perspective, the way we look at believers, the way we look at other believers, the way we look even at our own behavior. Because I'm not living life anymore through the lens of pleasure. Life isn't about bringing myself happiness. Life isn't about getting as much joy as I can. Life is now about bringing God glory with my life and pleasing Him and allowing Him to produce love and joy through His Spirit. It changes the way we look at church. It changes the way we serve God by serving others. It changes the way we connect with other believers. It changes our perspective whenever we are looking at life through the lens of who we are in Christ. Some of you probably didn't even know that I wore glasses because you never see me wearing them. And some of you wear glasses and I would never know that you do either. And you will say things like, I know I ought to wear my glasses, but... How many of you guys have ever said that before? I know I ought to be wearing them, or I know I ought to go get an exam, or I know I ought to get a new pair or get an update or whatever it is, but... And the same thing is true for us as believers. People that leave their glasses in the car, or they leave them in the case, or they leave them at home, they don't know what they're missing. And for those of us that are believers that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we don't look at life through the lens of through who we are in Christ, we don't know what we're missing in regards to the way that we look at life through our perspective. The second thing that changes is this. It gives us not only a different perspective, but it gives us a different potential. It gives us different potential. Had Paul, after being saved, if he had chosen to continue to live life just like he had before salvation, this story would be drastically different. If Paul had gotten saved, I'm a new man in Christ, but he never viewed life through the lens of who he really was as a believer, and it made no impact on him, we probably wouldn't even know his name. We certainly wouldn't have these writings that God moved him to write that we have preserved for us today. We probably have very little to no record of even his existence, but we do have record of him. We do have record of his conversion and of his life. And not only that, but it was Paul that God used mightily to get the early church started and to write much of the New Testament. And now, hundreds of years later, because he allowed his conversion to change his day-to-day living and the way he viewed life, the potential went through the roof because hundreds of years later, we're not only telling his story, but our stories are being guided by his teachings. It's an amazing thing. Because he viewed life through who he was in Christ, it changed the potential. You know, none of this would have happened if he had not seen life through the lens of his new identity in Christ. When you see life clearly, it changes the potential. When we see our marriage through the lens of who we are in Christ, it changes the potential for marriage. You know why so many marriages struggle? Because we look at our marriages through the lens of, he's not making me happy, or she's not meeting my needs, or I just need more power in this situation. I just wish they'd take my thoughts into consideration. Let's look at it through the lens of who God's called us to be in our marriage. As a new man in Christ, God has called us as men to love our wives. And as ladies, God has called us to respect our husbands. And the Bible tells us to submit to one another and to die to our own selves, you know, and to live to glorify God. Not only does it change our potential for marriage, it changes the potential for our children. You know, one of the things that we do all the time when our kids go somewhere, one of the first questions we ask them, did you have fun? Did you have fun? Our kids went to the Maca Fest last week and said, did you have fun? And yeah, we had a great time, you know, and that kind of thing. And so there's more to life, though, than just having fun. When we look at life through the lens of who we are in Christ, then our main desire for our children is that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, that's why we're doing VBS. We want children to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you have children, it is your responsibility to lead them. Listen, they're not going to be a believer just because you're a believer. But if you're a believer and you're looking at life through the lens of who you are in Christ, then you're going to be reminded of your responsibility to bring your children to a saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what He did for them. There's potential for our church. There's potential in our finances, potential in our friendships, potential in our faith. In every one of them, the potential is unlimited because with God, all things are possible. But the opposite of that is true as well. Without God, very little is possible. May God help us to see life through the lens of who we are because of the potential it brings. The last thing that it brings, though, is number three, it brings different problems. Whenever we begin to look at life through the lens of who we are in Christ as a new creature, it brings different problems. It's kind of like with glasses. I don't see Seth in here. Is he? Where's Seth at? He's back in the back. Seth has his glasses on today. I heard he lost a pair yesterday. He was swimming in the pond with his glasses on, and he lost them. Did you find the ones in the pond? No. Oh man. So Seth is going to be doing a GoFundMe for new glasses. When you get glasses, you expect things to be made better, but it brings on new problems. Like, I never thought about running through the rain and not being able to see because all the water on your glasses, you know. Or when you have the air conditioner blowing and it's super hot and humid outside and you come in, you just that fog. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You don't think about going in a pond. You know, we jump in a pond. I mean, I'm not taking my glasses off until I lose them. You probably won't wear them in the pond anymore, will he? But it brings different problems. And I don't want to be so naive as to think that there may not be some of us that think, you know what, Josh, I do need to start looking at life through the lens of who I am in Christ, and that's going to make everything better. Don't be mistaken. Because when we begin to look at life through that lens, it doesn't eliminate our problems. It actually brings new ones. As a matter of fact, I don't know of anywhere in the Scriptures where it talks about any problems that Paul had before he got saved. But there's a lot of information about problems he went through because he got saved. As a matter of fact, several of them are in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where it says this, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." I know how he felt. My dad used to beat me as well. Verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I'd been in the deep, and journeys often, perils of water, perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen, and perils by heathen, and perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils of the sea, perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness." All of these things came because he believed that Jesus Christ had made him a new man, and it brought new problems into his life. I don't want to say this just to scare you, but one person put it this way. He said, "It seems that God never uses anything until he breaks it first." As a child of God, I would let you know that you will face problems that you've never faced. Before salvation, whenever you get mad at someone, you could just stay mad at them. But after salvation, God wants us to look through the lens of the fact that we're forgiven and forgive them. Before salvation, it didn't really matter what other people thought of you, you know, because, hey, I am who I am. You like it, lump it, bump it, or jump it. I don't care. This is me. But after we get saved, we realize that we have the responsibility to share the gospel with other people, and our testimony truly matters. Before salvation, we thought oftentimes that pain came to people that had gone through difficult times. And, you know, a lot of people believe that. You know, the reason that you're suffering is because you must have done something wrong. But after you get saved, we realize that pain is going to come into all of our lives. And we have to wrestle with that sometimes because we know that God is love. But why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And it's something that we wrestle with. How many of you have that 20/20 vision and you don't need glasses? Anyone like that? Say, I don't need glasses. There's a few people out there. Anybody have better than 20/20 vision? It's like you should have been a fighter pilot or something like that. Anyone like that out there? You know, there may be some of us here that don't need glasses, but here's the truth. All of us as believers are going to face problems and trials. And I don't know how we can do them without keeping in mind who we are in Christ. Because when we remember that, it makes that problem different. It brings purpose to pain. Many of you know that my wife, Misty, down here, she has some health issues, and then Andrew and Emma have epilepsy, and so they have some physical issues, and Gracie, she's got mental issues, and so she's a teenage girl. All of them have mental issues, right? But my wife says she's not a very good writer, but she was asked to write in a guest blog, and I was thinking about how this went along with what we're talking about this morning, so I want to read what she wrote in a blog here just about 2 weeks ago. She said, "Summertime is finally here. Pools and popsicles, catching frogs and catching fish, days spent with playdates at the park, family picnics and barbecues, many delightful memories to be made. There was one particular summer that will be forever etched in my mind, May of 2013, a summer where the memories made were not delightful, but full of pain and struggle. On April 24th of 13, I received a phone call from a nurse. She told me that I needed to come back first thing in the morning because something was very wrong with my labs and they must have mixed up my results with someone else. This just isn't normal for a woman of my age. On April 25th, late in the evening, my doctor called. She said, 'I know what it's like to get a scary diagnosis, and I didn't want you to have to wait any longer to find out.' At this point, I had been going to doctors for years trying to figure out what was wrong. Why is my body failing me? Why can't I get out of bed? Why does everything hurt all the time? I can assure you that after years of searching without answers, I was not expecting this phone call. Her next words were, 'I'm setting you up with a hematologist, and you need to begin treatment immediately along with extensive testing.' Fast forward to May 28th, about a month later, I took my kids to the park to play. They were 10, 8, and 6 at the time. I sat in my green 99 Dodge Caravan, and God just wrecked me. So many summers before, I'd spent hours and hours at the park with my kids, silently judging the mom sitting on the bench. Don't they realize they only have 18 magical summers to make memories with their kids? Why are they not engaging them? How can they just sit there and listen to Johnny yell, 'Look at me, Mom, Mom,' 1,000 times as he crosses the monkey bars all by himself and not even get up to cheer him on? Is there something so important on your phone that you're willing to miss seeing your child slide down the slide with such glee and delight? Yet here I was without strength to even make it to the park bench, scrolling my phone, reviewing labs, and reading emails from doctors. I'd begun intense treatment, and I had very little strength to do anything that summer, especially play with my children at the park. Though the memories that summer were not full of playdates and popsicles, it was full of memories of God working in my life. I can assure you, one of them being not to judge another mom sitting on the park bench. I have no idea what that mom is going through. Having an invisible chronic illness can be difficult and challenging. I still go to treatment every few months. I'll never be cured. I may have chronic illness, but I can live chronically well. Maybe you don't suffer from chronic health issues. Perhaps you're dealing with the loss of a loved one. You may be suffering hurt from a spouse or a wayward child that's broken your heart repeatedly. God has shown me over and over again that everyone has something. We all have a story. The good news is that we don't have to let whatever it is weigh us down. A verse that God gave me that summer was Romans 8:18 that says, 'For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.' One of my dearest friends told me during my darkest time, 'Without the process, there would be no glory.' Sometimes we have to go through hard times for God to do His greatest work. I could share with you story after story how God came through, how He showed Himself to me in ways that I didn't know He could. The intimacy you can have with God when you allow Him to be your strength, when you fully lean into Him. Proverbs 3 took on a whole new meaning for me that summer. I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense, but God. God has been able to use the health of my family to bring Him glory. Just recently, our oldest daughter went through brain surgery, and my sweet friend asked me, 'Looking back on all that you have seen God do, would you choose to have gone through it all?' I'm not going to lie. In the moment, I said, 'Absolutely not. It's too much. It's too overwhelming, and I can't keep going on like this.' The next day, though, I began to think about God, His goodness, and His kindness, the way He loves us, His grace, His mercy, the way He provides for our needs that we didn't even know we had. And then I was able to say yes. Thank you, Lord, for my struggles. even when it seems impossible. You can live chronically well while chronically ill. The memories you make this summer may not look like what you may have imagined. It may not be catching frogs and fish. However, you can still enjoy your summer. You can still make memories. You can still have joy. Just remember to let God be your strength and look for His hand in everything. When we go through the problems of life, many of us look at it through different lenses. But may God help us to remember that when we look at it through the lens of who we are in Christ and that He can bring pain and purpose, or purpose and pain, may it help us to keep moving forward. You know, when Saul woke up that day with plans to go to Damascus, he had no idea what was going to happen. At that time, he thought he was doing everything that was expected, but God confronted him with truth on that day. And I just want to ask you this morning, has God confronted you with truth? Maybe it's the truth of salvation. Maybe you've never believed the gospel and God's been confronting you with that over and over again. Listen, if God's confronted you with truth, I want to encourage you to respond to that truth. If you're a believer today, maybe God's responded to you by the way that you're viewing life. You know, a lot of times we just don't even think about God. We don't even think about the fact that we're Christians until Sunday rolls around or until it's time to pray before our food. But may God help us to look at all of life through the lens of who we are in Christ. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.